Father, we come before you humbly, knowing that we simply are desperate for you. We need you so much, Lord. I thank you for new seasons. I thank you for new opportunities. I thank you for new repentance. I thank you for new life today, Lord. I thank you, God, for the things that you are doing. We believe that greater things are yet to come.
Yes,
to our families,
yes.
God. To our marriages, Lord. For our kids. We believe it, Lord Jesus, and we declare it. We believe that greater things are to come for this community and this neighborhood. God, these streets for people who are struggling with addictions and are in difficult circumstances, we believe greater things are to come in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, minister to us now through your word. Minister to us through your spirit. Even things that are not said out loud, that your spirit would whisper things to people's hearts today, Jesus. I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. And you guys actually turn the lights on if you can. That would be awesome. I want to be able to see everybody and everybody to be able to see what they are looking at. Today, we're talking about preparing for new seasons. Did I mention that I'm getting married next week? Hallelujah. So we're talking about preparing for new seasons. And we started last week talking about a wonderful woman named Hannah. And we're going to continue talking about what it takes to become a champion for God in this community. And today, part of this is going to have to do with that. But we're talking about preparing for new seasons. Everybody say, I'm getting ready for a new season. Now, I want you to say it like you believe it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting ready for a new season in the name of Jesus. That is our prayer. That is our prayer today. Hallelujah. Just this morning, I had a little bit of a new experience today. I was just praying and getting something ready in my room, and I do usually hear at some point in the mornings the voice of my 3-year-old daughter, Sarah, saying, Daddy, Daddy, I need you. And usually, you know, depending on how she says it, depends on how quickly I'll move. Are you with me? You know, right? Depending on how kind of desperate she is, how quickly I'll move. Today she just kind of started, you know, kind of low, and I was like, oh, maybe she doesn't really want to leave yet. But at some point she's like, Daddy, Daddy. And so I went into her room, and I found something new. She was sitting on the baranda. Well, how do you say baranda in English?
The bed rail.
She's still on a crib, and so she's sitting on it. She had crawled out of the bed rail, and she was just sitting there. Like balancing, and she was going, Daddy! So I was like, hey, Princess, oh my goodness! She always like, Daddy, I almost fell. I'm like, I know. And it was funny because she said something like, Daddy, I tried a new thing. I said, thank you very much. And here's a reality. Can I just say something? Sometimes trying out new things is scary. Sometimes trying out new things brings along potentially excitement, potentially looking forward to, but it can be scary sometimes, can it? I don't know about you, but I like to be steady. I like to know what's going to happen, right? I like steadiness, and when there's something different, something new that's coming to pass, there's something that I need to, okay, I need to prepare for it. I have a family member who, if on the day of, something happens and I say, hey, well, let's have lunch today or something like that. I say, lunch today? No, you needed to talk to me last week so you can put this on the schedule and on the calendar because I can't change my calendar. Well, what are you doing? Well, it's nothing too important, but you didn't tell me before, so I can't change it now. Do you know anybody like that? For some people, it's hard to change. Sarah was trying something new. One of the things that I'm realizing with her is that it takes me a while to be open to new things. There are several different things that should have happened already, but because Daddy doesn't like to change very quickly, sometimes we're a little bit slow to the roll. And it has nothing to do with her. It has to do with me. Sometimes new seasons can be scary. We're going to talk about preparing for a new season. Say, I'm getting ready for a new season. Let's dive into the scriptures here today, because I believe God wants to do a new thing in your life. In your life. In your family's life. I believe God wants to do a new thing in your life. Amen. The thing that God wants to do in you today is not the same as yesterday. The thing that God wants to do in and through your life tomorrow is different from what He has done. At yesterday, God gave you what you needed, but today you need something else. A new thing from God. The scripture says this, Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Everyone say, new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Behold, I am doing a new thing. And we're going to talk about for the next few minutes about principles for new seasons. Principles for new seasons. See, what happens to many of us is that we think we're going to start something new. And here's what happens often. We're going to try to do something new, a new relationship, a new family, a new job, a new circumstance, a new way of living. I baptized two wonderful young ladies this morning. It's talking about a new way. And I told them this morning before we gathered, I said, today is a beginning, not an end. Amen? It's a beginning. But here's what happens. Sometimes we try to start new things using old principles. We try to start new things, and what we're working on, we always go back to what we used to do. You say, well, I'm going to try this, but I'm going to do it this way. I'm starting a new diet. You can dream with me, can't you? Okay, I'm just saying potentially maybe. If I'm starting a new diet, I say, and the person that is helping me with that new diet is saying, this is the way that you need to do it. You're starting a new thing. But what happens is, okay, I'm going to start this new diet, and they say I have to exercise, and they say I have to eat this kind of food, and then late at night when you get the munchies. Hallelujah. What happens? I start doing things the old way. And what happens is, I want this new thing, but I'm doing it in the old way. And here's the reality. We cannot get to the new and continue to be doing what we've always done. Hallelujah. Someone said the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Every time I get angry with my spouse, this is what I do, and I don't understand why things don't change. Well, why don't you change the way that you do things? Okay, then the next time we have a conversation, I'm still doing the same things. I'm getting the same results. Pastor, I don't understand what the problem is. I say, did you try the new way? Here's the new way. I hear something, I get upset and angry, and instead of just saying what the first thing that comes to my mind, here's a new way. I'm going to, wait a second. God help me. Maybe take a walk around the house, do a circle prayer or something, and then I'm going to come back and say something. That's a new way. We can't get to the new place God has for us going back to the old principles, the old way. So we have some principles here that we want to talk about. The first principle for new seasons, number one, is rely on God. Rely on God. And I should have said rely on God completely. Rely on God. The older I get, the more I realize that I can't control most things in my life. I can't control my health. I can't control what happens to my kids. I can't control. I can try in some ways, but ultimately I can't really control. And so there's something about stepping into a new season that says, God, I trust you completely in this season. I make myself available to you. Whatever you want to do in this season, I give all of me to you. I'm going to completely rely on you. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Number one is rely on God. Number two is reject fear. Reject fear. Anytime that something new is coming, oftentimes some of you might be here, and the only reason you're not where God wants you to be is because every time you step up to that place and you're about to take the step off the ledge where God is calling you to be, something inside of you says, but I don't know what's going to happen. And so we stay here in the comfortable in what we know because we are afraid of what could be. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, amen, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Anytime that Pastor Lewis, fear starts to arise inside of me, and listen, I'm a human being just like you guys are, FYI, fear tries to creep into my life. And whenever fear starts to creep into my life, I start praying over that situation and walking through that situation. I start declaring, thank you, God, that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power. I have power. I have love. I have a sound mind. I can think right thoughts. I thank you for your power, God. I'm not going to allow this fear to dictate what I'm going to do with my life. Sometimes fear is crippling. Fear keeps us at home. Doors closed, in bed, not doing anything because we're afraid. No, I'm going to open up the doors to my room. I'm going to walk out and do what God's called me to do because if God is for me, who can be against me? I don't have to live in fear. Amen? Amen. There's a song that says, I'm no longer a slave to fear because I am a child of God. Wow. I'm a child of God. I don't know if you've experienced this. When I was a little kid, I was afraid of the waves and the ocean. And I would just sit there in the sand. I was afraid of going into the ocean because it could hurt me or I could drown as a little kid. But when my daddy would come and he'd grab me and put me in his arms. And we were walking into the water in the ocean. This is back in Puerto Rico. And you say, Pastor, where are you from? What are you Puerto Rico, the ocean, not Charlotte Beach. Hallelujah. We're working on that. Praise God. My daddy would take me as a little boy and walk into the ocean with me. I felt safe. I felt good. Because, man, you know what? The waves ain't got nothing on my daddy. Right? That's how we feel. Listen, if God is for you, who can be against you? Reject fear. You don't have to live in the bondage of fear anymore. And I don't know what that is. It could be internal stuff. It could be fear of being exposed, being vulnerable. No longer slaves to fear. We are children of God. Number three, we refuse to dwell. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I'm going to ask Brother Jason to come up. And Brother Jason has been coming to church for a few months. And he shared with me just a short testimony of something that God has done in his life. And a little bit also about what God did through baptism. And just go ahead and come on up. And he's going to share just a little bit of his story, rejecting fear, refusing to dwell, and allowing God to do a new thing in his life. Amen. Let's welcome him. Let's give him a hand. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I was about 14 years old when I was baptized. My baptism came at a very painful moment in my life. Like the pastor was talking about fear and everything like that. I've always feared about one day sharing this to people because I know what I went through would help others. A year before my baptism, I had told my parents that a family member was sexually abusing me. This started when I was 10 years old. When I was 13, I had shared it with my parents. And that just like, me sharing it just destroyed everything. My family rejected me. They disowned us, my grandparents. All the family members, they basically rejected us. And I gave my heart to the Lord because it was happening from the age of 10 to about 13. And when I was 13 years old, when I first gave my heart to the Lord, and I gave my heart to the Lord because there was a connection between me and God. I felt like I wasn't loved, and I was rejected, I was alone. And I felt like the only one that loved me was God at that time.
Amen.
So the pastor, my pastor at that time, was the one that taught me about baptism. He was also the social worker that dealt with the case of my being sexually abused. Being baptized, when I looked at that water and I entered into that pool of water, it was like when he dipped me into the water, it was like everything that I was feeling was left in that water. And I came out, I felt whole, I felt wanted, I felt loved, I felt clean. I didn't feel the ugliness I felt, you know, as a little boy, you know, going through this. And what made it even more special, my dad was baptized with me. It's been a lot of years I've been able, you know, I've held this in, you know. It's kind of hard sharing it now in front of people I don't know, but it's the work of God.
Yes.
I've been sharing with the pastor how now more than ever in my old age, my relationship with God has gotten closer.
Yes.
And it goes back to being baptized. It gave me a direct connection with God. Even though, you know, I fell a couple of times during my walk with Christ, you know, my teenage years and my early 20s and my 30s, you know, and then when I became a father, everything became a little bit more serious. But now, more than ever, I've been coming to church faithfully. I've been praying more. It goes back to this, like this right here symbolizes a lot, just leaving everything in there and just feeling free. You know, I'm free to share this painful moment with you guys. You know, hopefully it'll help anybody here. You know, if they've ever been through something like that painful, I don't know. But I thank God for being baptized. You know, it's something serious. You know, I thank Pastor Lewis for giving me this opportunity, because this is the beginning of trying new things, you know, being able to share things from the past and present it into the new. Thank you.
Amen. And Father, we bless Jason. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his courage. We thank you for the work that you're doing in his life, Lord. Thank you, God, that as he's speaking these things into the light, your light heals and restores and makes whole. And we thank you, God, for the way that you have used him and will continue to use him as a mighty man of God. And we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jason. Let's give him another hand. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. 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 Wow. Talk about rejecting fear. Amen. Rejecting fear. Being vulnerable is scary. But being vulnerable is the way that God uses to heal. See, sometimes we are living in the former things and we're dwelling in the past. And the past, we can learn from the past, but the past can also torment us. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We can learn, we can glean, but it can also torment us. But when we speak it out into the light and we allow God to use it, beautiful things are happening. And sometimes we can't get to the new season until we're able to speak clearly and vulnerably about the season that we just left, amen? Or the seasons that we have experienced in our lives. We must rely on God. We must reject fear. We must refuse to dwell. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Number four, principle for new season is remain present in your present. Remain present in your present. And all that means is this. Some sometimes I'm so worried about what has happened, or I'm so worried about the season that I have gone through, that my mind and my heart are there, and I'm not here with the people who need me right here. And I'm missing what is happening right here in front of me because my mind and my heart are still trying to glean and live in a different season. Someone said this to me a few weeks ago, and I thought it was really powerful. Seasons have an expiration date on them. Did you know that? The season that Brother Jason just talked about early on, now he's in a new season, amen? Amen. That season has an expiration date. It is finished. I have gone through different seasons in my life. Thank God that I'm not the same as I was when I was a teenager, amen? FYI, if you are a grown person and you're still living as if you were a teenager, there is something wrong. That is not normal. God bless you for trying to wear that outfit. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. But we have to grow. We have to come into a new season, amen? I am finishing a season of my life. And I would call it the season of being a grieving widower. Now, I know people that things have happened in their lives, and that has been so powerful over them that they live the rest of their lives dwelling on what happened in one moment in their life. Are you with me? And part of what we're sharing, part of the reason why I applaud, I'm so excited for Jason's life, is because when we bring things out and we're saying, this is what God has done, this is real, it was painful, but I'm walking into a new season now. Yes. It's different now. And I'm not going to live the rest of my life allowing the enemy to whisper in my ear any of his lies. Did you know that the Bible calls the devil the father of lies? He is constantly whispering lies. You're not good. You're not loved. God cannot deal with you. He can't use you. Are you kidding me? You messed up with your kids. You messed up in your marriage. God will never use you. Those are the lies of the enemy. God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. God says the work that I began in your life, I will be faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God says all things are possible to those who believe. Amen? That's what God says. I have determined, I'm going to choose to believe what God says, what Jesus says, over what anyone else says. Amen. I was talking to someone about how there are some people who study the Bible, if you can believe this, there are people who study the scriptures but do not have faith in Jesus. There are people who study, their life is about studying all the intricate parts of the Bible, but if you ask them point blank, do you follow Jesus, do you believe in him, they'll say, well, maybe. It is possible to know about God but not really know God. That is a possibility. We're talking about new seasons, and we're talking about moving into new seasons. I brought a couple of items here. I'm talking about seasons with expiration dates. Now, I'm going to just give you a date, and you're going to tell me if I should eat it or not, okay? These are nothing but the best handy snacks, premium breadsticks and cheese dip. Yeah. Hallelujah. Eat it. Okay, there you go. Yeah, eat it. It's a very romantic expiration date. It's February 14th of 2016. What do you think? Now, I could potentially eat this and be okay, but I'm not gonna try that right now. If anybody's really hungry, come talk to me afterwards, and you can eat the expired deal. How about this? This is empty for a reason, and I didn't look at this until afterwards, but I thought, oh, this is perfect. So this here's the date. It's March 31st. So not too far from ago. March 31st, 2017. Right. Bulat's like, that's close enough. You know, I think I could still, munch on that. I'm not sure about that. FYI, every Puerto Rican home has this. That's all. I'm not going to tell you about the expiration date. I just want to tell you that. I'm just kidding. Let's see. 8/11 of 2020. What do you think? We're good. God bless canned goods. Amen. God bless canned goods. And finally, black beans. Love black beans. Hopefully you're not getting too hungry. June 10th, 2021. How is that possible? That these are going to be good in 2021? Well, I won't ask. I will probably eat them at some point. Listen, every season, just like food, has an expiration date. And you know what happens? If I'm trying to live and feed off of a season that has expired, I'm probably not going to get all the nutrition that I need, right? Yeah. Secondly, it could kill me. Amen. Because it's bad. It is no longer good. In its season, it was fine. Whether it was a joyful season or a season filled with tears. And you know we've shed many tears together in this place. But seasons have expiration dates. I am, as I mentioned a few times, maybe two or three, I might mention a few more times, I'm getting married next week. Hallelujah. I'm getting married to this beautiful lady. Come on, honey. Yeah. It's a new season.
Amen.
God is faithful. Humbly, I say it's a new season. There might be tears. There will be joy. But it's a new season, and I have to learn to feed off of and rejoice and allow God to do what he wants to do in this new season. Amen. Amen. Thank you, honey. Are you trying to live off of or recreate, God bless you, an old season that has expired? There are some things in your life, I presume like parenting. Can I just say something? My parents have still not gotten rid of me. You know why? Because kids and parenting is more like these cans than it is the cheese and dip thing. Because it has a longevity to it. I'll probably be dealing with in some way, shape, or form with my kids for the rest of my life, and that will be a season that continues. It will be different. I can't treat Daniel now. I can't treat him 20 years from now the same way I treat him now. Amen?
Amen.
But the seasons have different expiration dates, and we have to be careful. If a season is over, we have to be careful to move on to the new season. Someone said, life is a collection of seasons. Champions are able to glean everything they can from the old season, but then move on to the new season. People who struggle, who never become the champions that God has wants them to become, are stuck in an old season and refuse to let go, even though they're supposed to, and they're feeding off an expired food that could hurt them or even destroy their life. I talk to people who have lost close people in their lives, and it might have happened 10 years ago, but they're still living today as if it had just happened. They can't get over it. And listen, I'm not talking about there are some things that we're never going to get over. Amen? There's some pains and some hurts. It's just the way it is. However, we have to allow God to penetrate our soul and to do the work that he wants to do. The Bible says there is a time for what?
Everything.
There's a time to cry and there's a time to rejoice. We have to allow God to do the work. If you've gone through some hurtful things, Brother Jason just shared some hurtful things. He's got to allow God to do something in his heart. You've got to allow God to do his work in your life so that he can help you and strengthen you and give you the courage to move on to the next season. You still remember, you still realize what has happened, but I'm moving on to a new season. The scripture says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Rely on God. Reject fear. Refuse to dwell in the past. Number four, remain present in your present. Know what is in front of you. This is the woman that is in front of me now. Number five, realize God is doing a new thing. Realize God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. I cannot see what's in front of me if I'm constantly looking at what's behind me. I cannot envision and see way on the horizon if I'm constantly preoccupied with what is happening behind me. A preacher said, when you get into your car, you have two things. In front of you, there is a big, large glass that faces forward, and there's just a tiny mirror so that you can see what's behind you. Some of us are living as if what we can see behind us is the large glass, and in front of us is just little. It's the opposite. The glass in front of us when we're driving is what we see in the future. It's what is forward. That's what God wants you to be looking at. Because if you're not paying attention to what's in front of you, people could get hurt. He wants you to look ahead and what's happening forward. Every once in a while, you check and remember what's behind you. Say, thank you, God, that I'm not there anymore. Thank you for where you're taking me because you are faithful. Amen? Preparing for new seasons. My encouragement today is for you to rely on God. Trust God. He has you in the palm of his hands. He loves you. He knows everything that you need. Rely on him. Reject fear. Do not live in fear. You don't have to live in fear anymore because you are a child of God. Refuse to dwell in the past. Don't sit and dwell there. Allow God to do a new thing and move you forward. Remain present in your present with the people that are in front of you. And finally, realize that God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. Let's stand together this morning. In the Bible, there's a story of the Israelites being out in the desert, and God said to them, I'm going to provide you bread on a daily basis for you, called what?
Manna.
But here's what God told them. Every day, I want you to get up, and I want you to go knowing and expecting that there's going to be manna there, and I want you to gather manna for that day. And then I want you to take it home and provide for your family and eat it. The next day, I want you to get up believing and expecting that God has new manna for that new day. Amen? And you're going to go out and you're going to gather new manna for that day. And then you're going to go home. And someone said, well, God, can I take a doggy bag? And God says this. God says, no, I don't want you to take extra. I want you to take what you need for that day. If you take extra, if you try to keep the manna today for tomorrow, tomorrow you're going to see it and it's going to be expired. It's going to be messed up. Because God is saying, I want you to trust me every day, every new day with new food. I'm going to provide new food for every new day. I don't want you relying on old food for the new day. Are you with me? It's called the manna principle. Listen, God has a new manna that he wants to give you for a new day. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for bread from heaven for each and every one of us. I thank you that you know what we need today. Every eye closed and head bowed. Some of you are saying, Lewis, if only you knew what was going on in my life, God knows what's going on in your life. He sees it. He knows. He knows the pain. He knows the tears. But you don't know what they've done to me. Listen, God sees it. He sees it. He loves you. He wants to heal you. He wants to make you whole in this new season. He wants to give you the courage to forgive. Some of you are stuck in old seasons because you refuse to forgive a person who's hurt you. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. You're holding on, and you wouldn't know what to do if you didn't wake up every day with resentment and anger and bitterness towards this person who hurt you. And they hurt you bad, and God knows it. He really does. He knows how badly you hurt. But the Lord would say to you today, it's a new season. I want you to let that person go. I want you to give them to me. I will work in their lives. I want you to set them free from your heart, from the prison of your heart of anger, of bitterness. I want you to let them go so that now you can look and see the new future that I have for you, the new season. Father, I pray for those people right now, even if it's just one person. In the name of Jesus, I pray you give them the strength and the courage and the Spirit of God empoweredness to forgive in the name of Jesus. 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 I thank you, God, for the power of confession. I thank you, God, for the power of sharing. I thank you for this, our brother, who has shared so powerfully about what you've done and what he's gone through and how you've redeemed it. Oh, listen to the word of the Lord. Listen, listen, listen. Joseph said this to his brothers who had sent him off to be a prisoner and a slave. The brothers were afraid of Joseph's wrath once Joseph came into power. And they were afraid. And Joseph looked at them and said, guys, you meant it for evil. But God meant it for good.
Amen.
And there's some of you here that don't understand your situation. You've been so hurt. And the Spirit of the Lord would say to you, give it to me. I can turn around something that has hurt you, something that nothing good seems to come out of it. I can turn it around and use it for the good, for your good, for the good of your family, for the good of your future, the people around you. It might not make sense, the Lord would say, give it to me. Lord, we lay our burdens, our hurts, stuff that's trying to keep us in the past, we lay it at your feet. Addictions in the house. Drug addictions to pornography, addictions to hurting yourself, depressive addictions where you're constantly depressed and having depressive thoughts all the time. In the name of Jesus, I declare freedom from addictions in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We declare every chain broken in this house in the name of Jesus. Oh, God sees it. He knows it. He knows that there's nothing that you can hide from him. He wants you to be free. Receive the freedom of God in the house in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All addictions broken in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for a new season. We will walk in it. Give us the courage to do it. We rely on you completely. Without you, nothing works. We love you. We thank you. Bless the rest of this day. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We're going to look forward in joy towards this new season. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to spend a